Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, it is time for a new season of Sharks Hockey, and I am joined by the broadcast crew here, Nick Nolenberger, Randy Hahn, Drew Remenda, Dan Ruzanowski. Gentlemen, happy new year, new season, whatever we're calling this at this point. Dan, I'll start with you. You know, you've been here since day one. You still excited for the start of a new season?
I'm fired up. I think, especially after what we witnessed in Vegas at the end of the preseason, that's just a motivational kind of a night. And let me tell you, it's really, really interesting to see this young group of guys working together with some experienced pros that kind of brings back memories of when Patrick Marleau and that whole crew was in their first couple of years of NHL play. And I'm hoping that the same thing can happen, that it can result in a two-decade renaissance for the team. And, you know, maybe that's oversimplifying it, but I think that everybody's really excited to see Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Tyler Toffoli and all the rest of the crew that's coming in here.
I think maybe the better question should have been, who's not excited for the start of the season? And Drew, why is it you? No, I can't. But no, Drew, what are you excited about this year? Is it as simple as young players, or where do you go to immediately?
Everything that's been done so far. First off, the coaching staff. You know, I'm a coaching guy. What Ryan Morosovsky and his coaching staff have done so far, training camp has been terrific. Every drill has a purpose. Every drill is a competition. Every drill, there's a reason behind it because it's going to happen in a game. It's game-like. And they've been very organized. It's been fast-paced. It's been an outstanding training camp, and the practices have followed. So, number one, I'm really excited about the coaching staff and the energy that they have brought to this team and how they're trying to build this new culture that Danny was talking about, you know, this reset the culture or rebuild the culture. So that's number one. Number two, obviously we're excited about Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. You don't have to know anything about hockey and watch those guys practice or watch them play and go, those two guys are really good. You can see it, obviously. But I'm also excited about the veterans. I've always liked Tyler Toffoli. Always. He has been terrific. Cody Ceci, we've, you know, been around him a lot, too, with the way the Sharks have been able to play him time after time after time, it seems, in the postseason in his earlier days. You look at Dellandrea. I'm looking at Klim Kostin. I think Klim Kostin can be a sleeper hero. Daniil Gushin. And what he did in Vegas, as Danny was talking about, 5 points. I watched him last year. Nick knows more than I do about Daniil because of the CUDA. But when Nicky and I were broadcasting games and watching Gushin, he's one of the best players on the ice. There's a lot to be excited about this team. This is going to be a much better team. And they are going to play with way more passion and way more heart. And everything from an X's and O's point of view, it's going to be a better team. And we should be ready to go.
Randy, what is your excitement hone in on?
What Drew said.
All right, next.
Good answer. That's it.
Pretty much wrapped it up, and I think we're good. So long, everybody.
That's exactly how our broadcast should be this year. By the way, we've been working on our rapport back and forth. So Randy's response should be pretty much all the time what Drew said.
No, just to reiterate what Drew touched on, you know, for me, there's just an overall opportunity now to see a framework of what Mike Greer is trying to do here. It was difficult last year. Yes, we knew we had drafted Will Smith, but the Sharks were burdened with some contracts last year that they just had to take to get out from under cap issues. It was a tough go, obviously, when you finish dead last. Tough for last year's coaching staff, which Morosovsky was part of. So he's gone through all of that. It was tough to see where this was all headed last year. Fast forward to training camp this year, and you know, no one's living under the illusion that the Sharks are going to make a playoff run here this year unless they stun the hockey world. because they would have to eclipse many teams in this league above them to do that. But be that as it may, you can now see a framework for the future. There's been an influx of talent, players like Toffoli that Drew talked about and other veterans. There's been an improvement on defense, Jake Walman, Cody Ceci. You have a potential franchise goaltender of the future in the organization, and you have Celebrini, who, let's be honest, the Sharks are hoping he can be more than a good player. They hope he can be a game breaker, something the Sharks really haven't had since Joe Thornton in his prime. That's what the hope is, not to put too much pressure on the young man, but let's be honest, that's what everybody's hoping for a number one overall pick like Celebrini. So now you can see where this franchise is headed, and it's never linear. And we can look back on the great Renaissance era that Danny touched on that the Sharks enjoyed for such a long time. It may be that again. It may not. There's going to be zigzags along the way, but hopefully it's always in an upward trajectory. But the big difference for me now going into this season is we can see what the future may look like when last year that was awfully hard to see.
Noli, I'll go to you. And a lot of what you've had to deal with the last 2 years is the Sharks pilfering a lot of the Barracuda's best players, which may have impacted the team's results over the course of the full season. Now it seems like there's a little bit more of a log jam, which might keep more talent on the Barracuda. And obviously, you get the perspective of seeing the two teams in real time more than the rest of us.
It was pretty clear this summer the Sharks were going to try to provide some veteran leadership for these young players, kind of guide them along. And they did the same thing at the AHL level. And frankly, established and accomplished AHL veterans have not necessarily been on this Barracuda roster over the last, 5 or so years. You can go back to the second year of existence for this franchise. They had their most success. They had 10 plus guys who went on to play in the NHL. Now, are they going to have that many this year? We'll see it. But there's so many young players that need that assistance in their careers at this point. So getting guys like a Paul Dorulski to join the mix, this guy has won 2 Calder Cups. He's been a scoring champion in the AHL. He's been to the finals in 4 consecutive years in which it's been held. That is so critical for these young players. You add guys like Jimmy Schultz on the blue line. You add Lucas Carlson, an established offensive puck mover on the blue line, although he's dinged up right now. These are guys who have been there and done that at the AHL level. And although they're still looking for NHL opportunities, they understand their role when they're in the American Hockey League. So I think that's critically important. And we saw it throughout training camp, guys like Colin Graf pushing for opportunities. Was he going to make the team? Ultimately, he ends up in the American Hockey League. Look at a guy like Ethan Cardwell, right at the cusp of breaking into the NHL, but he gets more seasoning at the AHL level. There's just so many names. Jack Thompson was right there on the cusp of getting into the NHL. This wasn't necessarily the case even a year ago. So not only did you add veterans at the NHL, AHL level, you've got young touted prospects. There's other guys that have taken a little bit longer because of maybe where they were drafted or the process that are right there now too. So I think the Sharks as an organization are just light years ahead, even a year later from where they were last year from a prospect standpoint.
I'll throw this one at the group, and whoever wants to jump at it first, you can have it. Biggest question mark going into this year?
To me, it's how the defense handles all of the challenges they're going to have in the Pacific Division. And, let's be realistic. It's improved from last year, but there's still a long way to go with that group of guys. They're going to have a number of players that are playing above their pay grade, so to speak. And that happened to a greater degree last year than I think maybe in 20 years in the history of the Sharks. I think it's way better this year. What Randy was talking about with CeCe coming back in here, with Jake Walman providing a little of offensive ability on the power play. And let's not forget about the return of Matt Benning to health. I think that those things are going to be critically important. But the question for me is, how are they going to respond to that? That'd be not my number one challenge. And then the other challenge is a little bit more typical. What happens when some of these college hockey players hit about game 55, 60 in the NHL? As talented as they are, they're going to have their ups and downs and see how they handle some of those, I guess you could say, adversities.
Drew, I want to dovetail off what Danny started with there, talking about defense, and I mean more so the team's defense. The reality is, the Sharks last year had the fewest average shots on goal per game in the league and gave up the most average shots on goal per game in the league. So it seems to me, as a coaching staff, as a hockey department, you tackle the shots against part first, so that gives your goaltending an opportunity to be better. How do you do that, though, simultaneously hoping to get more offense?
Well, number one thing is, and it's a cliche, but it's true. Clichés are clichés because it's proven out to be reality, is that you have to make sure your defense sets up your offense by not spending a lot of time in the defensive zone. How many games, guys, did we watch last year, Randy? As many as we called, where the Sharks were just in their zone and just then punted it out and changed, and came back in, just punted it out and changed. So they've changed the way they're playing defense this year. As far as a system goes, it's more of a swarm. It's guys being active and trying to get in there, boom, get the puck off the opposition stick and going the other way. So your defense sets up your offense by actually not spending any time or much time in the defensive zone. The other thing that they've been doing and they've been working on is, especially in practice in the training camp, is just having that shot mentality. But it's coming back to the point, and they did a couple of drills today, but it's coming back to the point, it's going to the net. So be shooting the puck, be thinking that we are going to shoot the puck. And to me, the big thing is, because you've got a group that you have now, this is not a small group anymore. This is a much bigger team than they were last couple of years. So the less time in your own zone will be because of the physical nature of this team and the drills that they've been doing, the being very competitive. And the pace at which Ryan Warsowski has been pushing these guys. There's no coach in the league who's saying, let's just slow things down, guys. Let's just, every coach wants to pick it up, right? Let's go, let's go, let's go. And Ryan's no different. Ryan has got a team that is trying to push the pace now and play a much faster, straight ahead game.
You know, one thing that's just related to that, Drew, too, is what Ryan Warsowski was talking about on our coach's chalkboard show the other night before the Vegas game. And that is to limit the amount of time that you are out of control of the game. In other words, when things aren't going well for you, to try to nip that in the bud and to get back to your game. I think that that's one of the things that really hurt the Sharks. And we saw it in the game in Vegas, even when there were like 4 or 5 minute periods where they were doing the same thing. They were getting as far as center ice, then they were out of gas. They had to just dump it in and change so to get fresh guys out there. But I think that Ryan Warsowski talked about that, limiting the amount of time that things are not in your total control when you ultimately do lose it, which does happen in the NHL on any given night.
Nolly, has J-Mac talked about his questions for the team and what he's hoping to see?
Well, I think just in a small sample size in AHL training camp, there's been similar comments in terms of the intensity, just the physical nature of this training camp, the tempo of this training camp. They have no question tried to fall in line of what Warzo had done with the Sharks, and these guys kind of understand now that this is just the standard in the organization. This is how it's going to be. We're going to have a lot of battle drills. We're going to have a lot of, skating. It's going to be intense. It's going to be rigorous. So there's no question that there's been a connection there in terms of the two coaching staffs. Jumping on kind of what you guys were talking about in terms of overall team defense and not in your zone as much, holding onto the puck a little bit longer. I think one of the most intriguing elements of the entire Sharks season this year is the goalie position. You've got two restricted free agents at the netminding position. You've got a young kid who's considered arguably, the top goalie prospect in the entire world. How did things shake out throughout the season? And last year, I don't think anybody could have pinned the season on the goalies. In many respects, one of the best players for the Sharks was Mackenzie Blackwood. How did things shake out this year when they're not facing as much rubber and maybe they're able to take a breather and they're not bailing their team out night in and night out? So, you talk about team defense, you talk about holding on to pucks a little bit longer and being more confident with the puck. And as Drew noted, just punting it away every time. They're going to come right back at you and put pressure on your defense. You've got a more veteran D this year. That's going to help out the goalies. So you talk about the different layers the Sharks have tried to improve this year. They've really done, in my opinion, a great job at all three levels, and even in the draft and even in free agency and trade. So I look at the goalie position as being one of the most intriguing this year. And it all ties to the Barracuda because Askarov's going to start in the American Hockey League for the time being. But he's had a great attitude. I think he'll come here and try to take advantage of this opportunity, and would not be surprised if he's part of a three-headed monster at various points of the season. But that's something I'm looking at as being one of the most intriguing elements of this upcoming year.
I'll
I think
throw this.
the other thing though, Ted, sort of going back to what's the biggest question mark, it has to be Macklin and Will. It has to be. They've been playing chess, right, for a long time now. They've been playing chess and play it very well. But now it's speed chess. Now it's go, go, go. And can you play at that pace and still be as great as you have been in your amateur career? That's the biggest, most obvious question mark. I think they can. They play different games, but to me, that's, as Randy was talking about, being those guys or those two guys, it's going to depend on really, so it's how they play will have a big bearing on the fact of how the Sharks are going to do this year.
How does the team prevent the ghosts of the past two seasons from not impacting them when they do lose 7-2 or when they do have a 3-4 game slide? Because that was the difference. Last year, the 3-4-5 game slide had the ability to turn into a double-digit slide. In a game in which you've given up 5 goals, they didn't have the ability to lock it down. There were back-to-back games in which they gave up 10 goals. And this team is much better on paper, but those guys, there's a lot of the same people who remember what happened a year ago. How do they prevent that from creeping into their minds?
In my
Well,
mind, it's the
I think that's
coaches.
where you rely on the leadership of some of these veteran players that they've committed to. In Toffoli and in Gaudreau, they bring 3 Stanley Cup rings into the room to go along with Nico Sturm's ring and Jan Rutta's too. So now you've got a kind of an inner core of 4 players in particular who have gone all the way, several of them multiple times, and recognize those points in a season where that leadership is needed. And there is a unique kind of cloud over the leadership question here, and that's Logan Couture. And he's still the captain of this team, but he's kind of a captain in absentia. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but injury has prevented him from being on the ice, from being in the room, from being in training camp. So I think that was what the Sharks had in mind with spreading the leadership around the way they did when they handed out a lot of A's last week. And this is part of the deal for these guys. Tyler Toffoli has won a cup. Gaudreau's won two. Now, Gaudreau's situation was different because he was a waiver claim and had the Sharks on his no trade list. And I get why he did. But Toffoli made a conscious decision to come to San Jose for the next 4 years, knowing that he probably wasn't going to get a shot in that span of time or a good shot at winning another cup. So you come for other reasons. You come for stability and you come to provide leadership. And I think that's another element of what went on here in the offseason in the roster construction. And as you pointed out, Nick, in the signings and the maneuvering, like Gaudreau off waivers, was to bring a collection in of guys to go along with some of the other ones to help prop these guys up when those bad times come, and inevitably they will, and probably more often than not, but hopefully not as many times as last year.
That's
Dan, I
what
know
I
you
was
want to
getting at
jump
too
in.
with the coaches. I think that the coaches' communication with the players, and that could go to the people like Brian Wiseman with the power play group, or Doug Huda with the defense, Jeff Ulmer with he's sort of a jack of all trades. He works with a little bit of everybody. I really think that communication is going to be critical when we face this situation here this year. And it goes along with the leadership. They have to monitor how the leadership is working within the dressing room without Logan Couture, as Randy was talking about. I think that's a huge loss. I mean, they were 4-1-1 when he played for the Sharks last year. That shows the difference that he makes. But you add in somebody like Cody Ceci, who played Game 7 of the Stanley Cup final last year, and you've got a group of veterans that has been through this and can handle this. And you've got a coaching staff that's got the guys prepared, and I think we'll be able to step in and communicate properly when this challenge occurs, because it's going to happen.
The thing about it though, guys, eventually it has to be about the leadership, like Randy was talking about, right? It has to be about the players. In the end, the only people that matter when it comes to winning games are the guys on the ice and the guys on that bench, the guys in that room. It can't always be about the guy behind the bench or the team behind the bench. So early in the season and the training camp and what they're doing and as they move forward, the first 10, 15 games, yes, the coaches will have a big say and a big stamp and making sure that they are trying to portray the right things in helping build this culture. But eventually the guys have to take over. Those guys that Randy's talking about, you were talking about, Danny, those guys have to take over because that's where your team belief starts to build. You have to have a belief system in each other. Jamie Baker used to talk about it all the time. That reason that 93, 94 team was good and did what we did back in the day is because you didn't want to let the guy next to you down. Last year, we knew what the belief system was. It wasn't strong at all. In fact, there was no belief in each other. This team has to build that belief system at the start of the season and then take it over. And that's your belief system becomes your identity, and your identity becomes part of the culture.
I think just to jump on that as well, a lot of these guys weren't here. You think about the Macklin Celebrinis, the Will Smiths, these guys were in college last year. I don't think they were watching too many Sharks games on the East Coast, although they might have caught some highlights, but those guys weren't here. A lot of these veterans that were brought in via trade, free agency, they were not here as well. And Connor mentioned all the success and all the Stanley Cup championship rings that are in the room now. Those guys have a lot of experience and success to lean on. So it's a fresh start. Now, are there going to be moments where maybe in the back of your mind you think this year on a tough night on the road, maybe a back-to-back, and you're getting your butt whooped? Oh no, are we doing this again? We're back into this situation. Sure, that's human nature. But overall, a lot of these guys are new. I think there's a positive thought amongst the entire team. You can feel it in the organization, and for everybody, it's a fresh start this year. And that's the brilliant thing about a new season. Is it's a completely fresh start for everybody involved. So for the young guys, I don't think they're worried about what happened last year. It's about starting anew and being part of the solution moving forward.
Just looking at the roster for Thursday night, if I'm guessing right, nine players in the lineup Thursday weren't with the San Jose Sharks last year. Gushchin with he played what, four games, but nine players out of 20. So that's half the team.
Yeah, brand
But
new team.
one thing, Nikki, about what you're saying though about those guys watching the Sharks, I have it on good authority that they were either watching or Randy and me or Brett and listening to the Sharks Audio Network. I heard a lot of them were really engaged. They didn't want to miss it.
Rinkrats. Rinkrats.
Drew, I'll start with you on expectations because you gave a little two-finger salute when you said that there was the potential for a playoff appearance this year. What are the expectations the Sharks should have?
I have stated this from the get-go. They should be expecting to make the playoffs. If you're not expecting to make the playoffs and you're not working towards that goal, you're in the wrong business. We shouldn't, we sh again, I'll go back to 93, 94. And I remember Kevin Constantine, very first meeting at the Burlingame Hyatt back in the day. That was our training camp headquarters. We bring everybody night one. And Kevin gets up and says, "We're not here to be considered competitive. We're not here to be considered respected. We're not here to be considered a hard team to play against. We're here to make the bleeping playoffs. That's what we're going to do. We're going to shock the hockey world and meet the playoffs. And within that, we will be respected. We will be competitive. We will be hard to play against. We do those things. We will make the playoffs and shock the hockey world." That's what everybody should be thinking. I'm tired of setting the bar low. And as I said before, I'd rather be optimistic and wrong than negative and right.
To use a popular phrase, Drew, your expectations are piled high.
Well, yeah, but so
Wasn't
what? So what?
the bar at the Hyatt Knuckles?
Yes.
I don't know what you guys are talking about in that. I'm trying to keep it on the rails with hockey,
Tommy
but
Woodcock's favorite
you guys must
place.
have had that.
As in where Link Gates dragged his knuckles.
Exactly. Drew,
Danny.
I really think, Drew, what you're talking about is the attitude you have to take. I think that management looks at it in a little bit more of a
Of course.
realistic way. But inside the locker room, you're 100% right. That's where you start, and that's where you work from.
So, Dan, what's your expectation, though, personally?
Well, my personal expectation is I'm not in the locker room, so I can maybe be a little more realistic. I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this. Number one, what do you expect from Celebrini and Smith? What would be a good season for them? I say play at least 70 games and score 50 points. If they can do that, they've taken a big step forward into becoming good, solid NHL players. I don't think that you can expect Macklin, Celebrini, or Will Smith to have Mario Lemieux's first season and score 100 points in the league, but something closer to what Connor McDavid did. He was basically a point a game in his very first season in the league before he really took off. And I think that that would be an amazing step forward for those two guys to get through a full season. As we've talked about or heard, we're not exactly sure how they're going to manage load time for these guys, but I'm saying they're not necessarily going to play every game always, and certainly maybe not together. But if they both play 70 plus games and if they get 50 points, that's good. As far as the team results are concerned, I just want them to be in the conversation for the playoffs right around the trade deadline. And if they get to that point, that means that they've really taken another step forward as a team. And if that's the case, then Mike Greer's got a lot more maneuverability with players that are coming near the end of contracts to try to build this organization better. And who knows, at the very end of the year, maybe he can't make any moves because they're going so well and they're definitely in that conversation. I think that that's something to at least shoot for. And if you're talking about numbers of wins, I'd say in the 30s somewhere.
Randy, your expectations?
Maybe what Ryan Warsawski's is, and that's developing a foundation. Look, guys, the Sharks hit rock bottom by the end of last year. It was bottom of the league. And we just talked about all the changes, all the new personnel. This is starting over again here. This is the beginning. Last year wasn't the beginning. Last year, to me, was the end of the last part of the worst era we've had in Sharks history. So we're now building blocks. And Ryan Warsawski is trying to, from what I hear him say, instill in this group the foundations of the right way to play and how to be consistent NHL players, which is a coach's job to build a foundation, to build defensive systems, penalty kill, power play, hard to coach offense, and try and extract the best out of the players that he has. So for me, it would be seeing that foundational growth. It's not going to all happen in the first week of October, and we might not see that growth manifest itself in night-to-night consistency till after Christmas. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a style of play, an accountability within the group, within the players, that veteran influence, the electricity from time to time from these young players, and more stability in our own zone to allow this team to start building toward credibility again, building toward maybe not winning every night, but being in a lot more games in overtime, not getting blown out like they did last year in those two horrendous games against Vancouver and Pittsburgh, and moving back toward respectability.
Noli, I want your expectations for the Barracuda and for the Sharks.
Well, I mean, it's more hopes for me, and it goes off of what Randy said. I think for the Sharks, the goal, and this is something that Ryan Warsawski talked about when he was first hired, was he wants his team to be a competitive, hard team to play against, night in and night out. So when teams are coming to the Shark Tank, no longer are they thinking this is an easy 2 points. That's got to be the mentality this year. You want us to see tangible growth, and you want to see success from the young players. I think if you see success from these young guys and there's something to look forward to in the future and the team's competitive, maybe not winning, you know, every night, I think that's the biggest goal. And for the Barracuda, look, they haven't made the playoffs in 3 years now. It's a team that was making it every year. It's very important for these young guys to get playoff experience at the AHL level, whether it's NHL or AHL. But if it's not in the Stanley Cup, it's got to be in the Calder Cup. That's critical, I think, for these young players. It's a compressed, intense situation that I think growth is it comes quicker, of course, in the playoffs, right? Guys grow a lot in that short span of time. So I think the goal is to get in the playoffs. You want a competitive team. You want a team that's pushing near the top of the division. I think that's realistic expectations with the veterans they brought in and some of the young guys. That's the goal. Get into the playoffs, get these guys experience in the Calder Cup playoffs, and see where it goes from there.
Ted, Randy, I know we got to go, but I got to ask you, what does Shark success in 24-25 look like for you?
I think it has to be just consistent competitiveness compared to what we saw a year ago. Like you alluded to, the back-to-back games against Vancouver and Pittsburgh, that can't happen for a number of reasons. One, for the players' mentality. Two, for the viewpoint of the team, of the league-wide view of the team. Three, for the fans and how they view what's going on. You need to have the five-game slides not turn into 8, 9, 10, and beyond. Like, can they show that they can stop those slides? and get a two-game win streak or play 500 before they have another little setback and go on a 2-3-game losing streak. Those small markers of just being a more consistent team and being consistently better than they were a year ago. And there were some good points last year. The road trip they had at the start of December, they got the great comeback in Detroit. Like Danny said earlier, when Logan Couture came back, they were 4-1-1. There were some good moments, but they were few and far between, and that's going to be the obvious reality when it is a 19-win season that is coming on the heels of a 22-win season. 41 wins in two seasons combined. That's nothing compared to the peak Sharks that we talk about of a generation ago. So I just think it's consistency across the board, getting that competitive nature to a higher level. The amount of talent that's on the roster this year, and this isn't to speak ill of anybody that was here last year, to me, it is significantly higher than where it was. So it should lend itself to better results, but it just got to come down to that fight game in, game out, not game in, game out. And I try not to pile on the guys last year because I think they knew they were at a deficit. And I think they knew what some of them had been brought in for in terms of contracts, in terms of just coming to this team and whether it was going to be a guy who was brought in to showcase himself to be a trade piece at the deadline. That's not the most inspiring point of your career, but I think that you got to make the most of it. And I don't think that's at all the same type of situation we're talking about this year with the Sharks. So hopefully things trend in the direction that I am hoping for. And I hope that doesn't sound unrealistic or on the other end, too low of a bar. You just want more consistency across the board. I said it all.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you wrapped it up nicely.
Well, right, anyone have a final thought they want to jump in with before we go?
I just can't wait to get started.
The word that comes to mind is fun. And last year wasn't fun. Last year was awful. It was rock bottom for everybody, for the fans, number one, for the players, for the coaching staff. It just seeps all the way through the organization. And that comes down to us. You know, we have a fun job, and last year there wasn't enough fun. What an entree we had the other night in Vegas that Danny and Drew called so eloquently, and those last three goals. And I know it's a preseason game, and in a week we won't even refer to it again. But it's a great teaching point for both coaches, actually, because Ryan Warsofsky can use that in some other way. Maybe, hey, don't pack it in, because if you keep your head down and keep working, good things can happen. And Bruce Cassidy on the other end can kick his team in the butt saying, don't ever take your foot off the gas again when you have a 2-goal lead like that, because bad things can happen. But I'm just looking forward to fun again, and I think it's going to be a fun year.
Related to what Randy's talking about, I think that feeling that electricity at SAP Center again is going to be something that I'm looking forward to. And I think that that's one of the goals for the season, for the Sharks to return to some prominence and being a really tough team to play against in this building. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of the fans pop in wearing teal, something none of us get to see. But, that walk down Santa Clara Street with everybody in teal, clothes going toward the rink for pregame. That's something that we don't get to see because we're in the booth, but I'm looking forward to hearing about that and having the fans enjoy themselves this season. And I think they're going to.
Yeah. That's the biggest win, or the most important win this season will be winning the fans back, without a doubt. We've had great fans for a long, long time, and they've stuck with the San Jose Sharks, but we got to win more of them back. And they do that through those guys in the room and those guys on the ice. That's the people that matter.
Noli, final thought?
Yeah, it's nice to get to the bottom so you can start to rise up. And I think we're all feeling that, right? We felt the pain last year and over the last couple of years, but there's so much optimism. It's exciting to be a part of it. I look forward to hearing you guys call these games this year as you do so well, the best in the biz. And it's going to be a fun year. I think there's going to be major improvement. We'll see what ends up shaking out ultimately. But it should be a lot of fun. There's just a lot of optimism in the organization, and you can feel it.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much for your time, as always. We'll meet back in a week's time to discuss how five Sharks broadcasters can solve collectively the world's problems. That's next on the docket after we start the season.
Love it.
Go Sharks and go Kuda!
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yang.